If you would, take your Bibles and go with me to an Old Testament book. So if you're familiar with the book of Luke, we're going to move to the Old Testament this morning for our New Year's message. We're going to go to the book of Habakkuk. It is towards the end of the minor prophets, and we want to look at a passage here in Habakkuk. I begin to pray about what the Lord would have us to do as our theme for the coming year, and our graphic design department begins to ask me, what's the theme for the coming year? What's the theme? And I begin to pray and pray and pray. And this one, I'm giving kudos to Brother Mike Probus, because he read from these verses on the night of our prayer and praise and thanksgiving. And boy, it just struck me in a wonderful way. And so I began to research the rest of the book, and I find that it is very applicable for our 2021. It is especially applicable in light of what 2020 has been like, and the things that we've enjoyed, and the things that we've endured in the previous year. And so I want to spend our time here in Habakkuk. This will be great because I'm going to preach the whole book in one message. All right? So you don't have to worry about me coming back to Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 1, and so on. We're going to preach the entire book this morning. And we'll finish up right before the Christmas program from the children tonight. And so you can just stay on through. That's all right. This book is just outstanding. And there's so much contained herein. I hope you have your Bibles there in front of you and that you'll follow along. I just want to read the opening verse this morning by way of introduction, and then we'll jump into the passage. And again, normally when I have my notes before me, I'll put just the text that we're going to read from. And in fact, in this message, I've copied all three chapters into this message, and I pray that this will be a help and encouragement as we head into the new year. Habakkuk chapter 1, look what the Bible says in verse number 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. This is going to be a message that is comprised of the viewpoint of Almighty God from three different national perspectives. The first is that of the northern kingdom of Israel. In Habakkuk, the northern kingdom has already fallen. If you've been with us on Sunday nights, we've been in the book of Amos. And Amos is a book that was specifically directed to the sins of the northern kingdom. I'll say more about that throughout the message. But in this chat or in this book, God references the nature of the sins and fall of the northern kingdom. Then he's also going to refer to the nature of the southern kingdom. And Habakkuk specifically gives the encouragement to those that will do right in the nature of what is upon the southern kingdom. And then he also refers to Babylon or the Chaldeans. Nebuchadnezzar comes to reign over Babylon, and Babylon will eventually overwhelm the southern kingdom. And so we want to look at a couple of simple points and rapidly move through them so that we get to the final thought that is found in chapter 3. And again, that's the passage that Brother Mike read to us there at Thanksgiving time. And I do pray that with all of this and all that's involved, that it would be a blessing. The Bible says, O Lord, verse number 2, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. This is the predicament of the prophet. It seems as though I've been begging God for years upon years to work and to work and to work, and nothing as of yet is happening. Remember with me that there were some wonderful days in the southern kingdom. Under the leadership of Hezekiah, the nation had been greatly blessed. But after Hezekiah, there was a leader by the name of Manasseh, and he was extremely wicked. He led the southern kingdom into great wickedness and did deplorable things. And it's amazing because it was not only that he was extremely wicked, but he had the longest reign in the southern kingdom, 52 years. that the southern kingdom endured the nature of the recklessness and the rebelliousness of Manasseh. So after being under Hezekiah and experiencing the blessings of Almighty God, they have now endured the 52 years of the leadership of the wicked man by the name of Manasseh. And there was a time of a brief revival, but it did not last that long. And now they are drawing ever closer to that time frame in which God is going to use the Chaldeans as a conquering arm over the southern kingdom. And the prophet cries out and says, "How long shall I cry?" Have you ever been in that position as it relates to our own nation and said, "Lord, how long will it be before you will act on the believer's behalf? How long will you allow the heathen to rage? How long will you allow the heathen to have control and to take what seems to be the leadership? How long will you allow these people to defy your great name? How long will you allow them to act out in such violence and wickedness?" And that's the heart of this prophet Habakkuk as he cries out to Almighty God and relates to God his desires for the southern kingdom. I want to ask God's blessings upon our time and then jump into these three chapters. And we'll look at three simple things if you're taking notes this morning. We'll first of all look at the state of nations. The state of nations. The status of the nations. What is the status of the nation and nations around us? And how does what we find here in Habakkuk apply to us? Well, we want to ask God's blessings upon our time. Then we'll jump into that status and then move very rapidly to the last part. And I believe that there's an answer for believers this morning. And I believe it's a tremendous answer for our new year and what the Lord has for us in 2021. Let's ask God's blessings upon our time this morning. Father, thank you for this book of the Bible. We thank you for these minor prophets and for what is recorded in these very short books of the Bible. And I pray that this will be an encouragement and a help to each one. Would you help us as believers in this day and in this time to have the right stand, to have the right spirit, and to be the believers that you'd have us to be. Help us in our focus this morning in the book of Habakkuk. May this be a help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Throughout these three chapters, Habakkuk is crying out to God, and it's a fair amount of conversation between the Lord and Habakkuk. One commentator puts it this way: as Habakkuk has a deep burden for the southern kingdom, his own people. Many of us know what it is to be burdened for an erring child, a lost loved one, a bereaved friend. Such sorrow does indeed weigh one down. And it was the sins of the people of Judah that were a lead weight on Habakkuk's heart. The prophet was sick of the sight of wrongdoing and fearful of what it would bring. And so he cries out to Almighty God, "How long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear?" Well, let's walk through the status of the nations this morning, number one. And I want you to see further into the book of Habakkuk as to what is happening. And again, there's reference to both the northern kingdom and what happened there, the southern kingdom of Israel and what happened there, and then reference to Babylon and the Chaldeans. God knows the nations better than any of us do. And here is the nature of his warnings to these nations. Will you look down with me and read further in verses 1 through 4 and consider the United States of America as we read in these passages? The Bible says, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth." Boy, when you and I read this, it's like it is written in the beginning of 2021 as it relates to the United States of America. One commentator said this: the law always becomes paralyzed in a permissive society. As we can see by simply looking around our own land, a permissive society redefines sin. Today, a drunkard is an alcoholic. A thief is a kleptomaniac. A murderer is a victim of society. Adultery is merely having an affair. Sodomy is an alternate lifestyle. Sins that would have outraged our fathers are tolerated in the name of personal and civil rights. Such is the permissive society we see. And such was the permissive society Habakkuk saw. He came to the conclusion that the wickedness doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. In other words, the wicked outnumbered and outvoted the righteous. No wonder his nation was headed on a collision course with disaster. Again, this book is written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and yet there's reference for you and I in this day in which we find ourselves. Listen to what God says about what was going on in the nations. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay." They've gone and they've increased themselves, but it's all been a result of theft. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 9. This is the status of the nations. "Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil." Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 12. "Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establish a city by iniquity." Do you and I find that in our country today? People are coming in and co-opting that which does not belong to them. They're entering city after city after city, and they're putting up roadblocks and doing everything that they can to declare themselves now in charge of a specific area. And that specific area has been built on nothing but iniquity and the shedding of blood. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 15. "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness." Is this not the nature of our nation, where drunkenness has taken over? It's so funny. It's not funny, ha ha. It's sad. But it's unbelievable to me that they could have commercial after commercial after commercial promoting that which is destroying tens of thousands of lives every single day. And they do it with the tagline, "Drink responsibly." If our nation really wants to get serious about dealing with that which is killing our nation, you'll start with the bottle. And you'll start with the nature of the damage that it is doing to individual lives, to marriages, to homes, to the nature of children that are beaten weekend after weekend after weekend. And tens of thousands of lives are affected every year because the individual goes out drunk driving. But boy, you don't ever hear anything about that. Well, I tell you what, it's a shame that this is the nature of the nations. Habakkuk chapter 2 in verse number 19. "Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there's no breath at all in the midst of it. Woe unto them that are so filled with this yearning to worship idols that are made with hands." Well, I tell you, when you travel down through these verses here in this book, chapters 1, 2, and 3, and God pinpoints the issues in each of these nations, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Israel, the nature of the Chaldeans, boy, you can see very quickly how there are so many characteristics that are not only in our nation, but that are also around the world.
in this day in which we find ourselves. Well, there's the status of the nations as God describes it here in chapters 1, 2, and 3. But I want you to notice the second thing very quickly, the sovereignty of Almighty God. The sovereignty of Almighty God. We saw it in the song that was played just a few moments ago, the God of wonders. In Habakkuk chapter 2, in verse number 14, in the midst of everything that God says about the nations, in Habakkuk 2, in verse number 14, the Bible says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Habakkuk chapter 2, in verse number 20, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." Habakkuk chapter 3, in verse number 6, "He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting." Habakkuk chapter 3, in verse number 10, the Bible says, "The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger." There's three things about the sovereignty of Almighty God. As he sees the status of the nations, number one, he brought judgment upon the northern kingdom for their wickedness. When you travel back through the kings that led the northern kingdom, you find not one godly king in all of the line of kings in the northern kingdom. King after king after king did that which was evil in the heart and evil in their own hearts and their own desire. God brought judgment upon them by using the Assyrian army to overwhelm them and to defeat them. It's a verse that we've looked at on Sunday nights, Amos chapter 4 and verse number 12. "Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God." He makes it very clear that he would be meeting them on the field of battle and that he would be in charge of their destruction. Not only did God bring defeat to the northern kingdom, but defeat was about to come to the doorstep of the southern kingdom. And it was because of their wickedness. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse number 12. "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, O mighty God. Thou hast established them for correction." See, the truth of the matter is that you as a child of God cannot sin and win. You and I who belong to Almighty God cannot sin and win. Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 13 reveal to every single one of us who know Christ as our Savior that if he is our Heavenly Father, that he will bring chastisement to our lives. You see, there's two things that are possible in your life. Either you're not saved, and so Almighty God is doing nothing in your life, or if you are saved and you are in the midst of sin, the Bible says that he will bring punishment. You cannot sin and win. God is about to bring judgment to the southern kingdom. But then he says to Babylon, and it's important for us to note this, that God speaks to Babylon and said, "Your day of appointment is also on the horizon." Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. "Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land and of the city, and of all that dwell therein." And so he references all these things and says, look, I am sovereign. I am still on the throne. I am the God of the universe. I am the God of the sun, the God of the moon, and the God of the stars, the one that flung everything in creation. And I will move to bring judgment to these different nations. But with all of this said, the status of the nations and what they were doing, the sovereignty of Almighty God, he's on the throne. Habakkuk cries out in prayer, and it's in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is a prayer of Habakkuk. And he says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. And here's what he says in the last part of that verse. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. It brings us to the third point, and this is the focus of our message here in Habakkuk chapter 3. In the midst of everything that Habakkuk was seeing and hearing from Almighty God, with the understanding of how God saw the status of the nations as they really were, with a better understanding about the sovereignty of Almighty God and how he was still on the throne and still in control, Habakkuk refers, number three, to the security for the believer. Would you look at Habakkuk chapter 3, and here's our text. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 3, in verse number 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. And this was so significant to Habakkuk that he puts it to words, and he gives it to the chief singer that it might be put to music, that they for time to come might sing this praise to Almighty God. In the midst of everything that's happening in the status of the nations, in the nature of the wickedness of the land, with the understanding that God is still on the throne, and he cries out to God and says, in the midst of all the wrath that will be poured out on these nations, would you remember mercy? There's three things that I hope, drive home with each one of us this morning who know Christ, as we are in the midst of a very difficult and uncertain time here in the United States of America. Yes, we understand the status of a nation. I don't think you and I would have to look far away to find the issues that our nation is currently dealing with. And it's amazing to me that it doesn't matter who wins the White House, who wins the Congress, who wins the Senate, half of the nation is going to be mad. And they're going to reject whatever's happened. There's all kinds of things that are still in play and still at work. And Habakkuk is in much the same condition, because as he looks around, he's concerned about all these things that are going on in the nation. He says, look, you're supposed to be God's chosen people. The heathen act this way. Why aren't you acting differently? And so he comes back to this matter and he says, as all of this is taking place, in fact, look at verse number 16. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. I mean, is this not the nature of the believer in the day in which we find ourselves? I mean, there's so many things. I have not watched 24/7 news with any consistency since the night of the election, because I cannot take it. My belly has trembled. It's also added a few pounds. But my belly has trembled at the nature of the day in which we find ourselves. And I'm looking at this passage and I'm like, is this ripped from the headlines in 2020 and 2021? I mean, how could the Lord know that this is where we would find ourselves? And Habakkuk said, this is the nature of me physically. But though these things be true, I still have security. Now, I'd like to say to you today that the security is found in Smith & Wesson. But that only provides so much. I've been very appreciative of one young lady who's coming to the House of Representatives that has made it very clear that she will take care of the leadership of her own personal security. You need to read about her. She's a congresswoman, been newly elected from the state of Colorado, and she's told the Capitol Hill Police that she's well aware of the need for a security detail, and it will be with her all the time. I won't go any further, but you can find the details of that young lady. I'm really proud of her. I think it's fantastic. But my security is not in the sidearm necessarily. My security is not in the alarm at the house. It's not in the cameras that I've placed around them. It's not in the signage. Listen, my security is not from anything that I can do. Habakkuk, how can you be secure in the nature of this day, knowing that an overwhelming force is marching towards the southern kingdom? I open the newspaper every day, and my body trembles. I quiver, I quake. I wake up and I hear Nebuchadnezzar has just overwhelmed this nation. Nebuchadnezzar is at the doorstep of this nation. Nebuchadnezzar is getting closer. Oh my goodness, I quaked and I trembled. And he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the rest of the fold, or shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Can I put this into our terminology? All of the stuff that would sustain my life has failed. You see, we look at this verse and we're like, well, I'm not worried about that because everything in the verse I get from the grocery store. That's no problem. The verse is conveying to us that everything that is a sustainer of life is now distant from them. And as the invading forces draw ever closer, they ran roughshod over all of the harvest. And so all the things that we would put stock in, everything that we would know and hold to be true as sustaining our future, it's all gone. And Habakkuk cries out with this answer, yet will I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Oh, if there was just someone who knew how bad I have it. I think Habakkuk knew. And I think it was far worse for Habakkuk. As he cries out, and I think this book is given to us in this day and age where we put so much stock and so much hope and security in the next elected official, in the next political party, in the next government stimulus check, in the next this, in the next that. We put so much stock in all these other things. It's really, in many cases, caused us to move our focus away from what Habakkuk brings us back to. Would you notice three things with me that I believe are important for the security of the believer and what we can do in the nature of this day? If you've not been with us on Sunday nights, we find in the book of Amos that there was a certain national judgment that was coming. There was nothing that they could do to change the nature of the judgment that was ahead. The Assyrian army was going to run roughshod over the northern kingdom. You say, well, then if there's nothing we can do, then what should we as individuals do? And that's where Amos comes back to the individual and says, in light of the destruction that is ahead, you can seek the Lord individually and you can seek good. That's found in the book of Amos. But what about here in the book of Habakkuk? What can we do? Number one, I believe we can rise above. I believe we can absolutely rise above everything else that's taking place in our society. You say, well, how is that possible, Pastor? Well, let's look at the Word of God and let's consider the names of some individuals that I believe rose above their circumstances and were actually very successful. Have you ever heard of the name Joseph? Joseph is moved out of his homeland in slavery, And at every turn, I believe we find Joseph rising above those that were in and around him. You say, Pastor, but wickedness abounds. Was that true in Joseph's life? But my circumstances don't lay it out for me to be successful in society. Is that true in Joseph's life? But you don't understand, my boss is lying about me, or my boss's wife is lying about me, or the circumstances have even driven me to a prison house. And yet every single time we look into the life of Joseph, we find him rising above the pagan, sinful, lawless nature of what was happening in the individuals around him. Let's go to another man by the name of Daniel. Daniel is taken actually out of this very southern kingdom by the Babylonians, and he's taken to a new land and a new culture and a new language. And he's inundated with paganism. Would you and I say that Daniel rose above? In the very opening chapter, the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. It was offered to him. There was no more mom and dad telling him that he can't. There were no more tutors around him telling him that he shouldn't. He could have partaken in anything he wanted and said, look, if this is what's going to happen to me, if this is my lot, then I'm going to do my own thing and I'm going to get all I can. But Daniel rose above. Travel with me to the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh's decree was that they put the children to death and that they begin to remove all the male children there that are born to the Israelites. But one set of parents, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, looked at their son and said, we will not obey the king's commandment. And they spared the life of their child, Moses. I believe that that's a tremendous testament to a set of parents that rose above. And they purposed in their heart to obey Almighty God. When you travel with me to Peter in the book of Acts, yes, in the Gospels we find a scared Peter. He acted impetuously. He acted out so quickly, cut off a guy's ear. He says, I'll defend Christ to the death. And then he was ashamed of Christ in front of the nature of a little maiden girl. But boy, by the end of the, as we travel through the chapters of the book of Acts, and by the end of the story of the Apostle Peter, there in Acts chapter 12, we find that Peter is bold as a lion. He rose above. The religious crowd was totally against these little Christians that were representations of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these believers rose above, so much so that in Acts chapter 17, in verse number 6, the pagan world had become so sick of them that they said, this bunch, they're the ones that are turning the world upside down. And I believe with all of my heart that we can rise above. And we can be like Joseph. We can be like Daniel. We can be like the parents of Moses. We can be like the Apostle Paul, who's told by the king that his death is on the horizon and that he will be put to death. And yet the Apostle Paul, with every single day that God gave him, the Apostle Paul rose above and presented kings and potentates and the surrounding servants with the good news of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I can't help but think of how many people over the last 4 years that God has specifically placed in positions in the White House and in the executive office building and in Congress and in the Senate that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they've been given opportunity to proclaim the name of the Lord. And that's very significant to me. Oh, we've had many presidents and many politicians and so forth that could care less about the truth of Almighty God, that cling to religion and cling to all kinds of things about religion, but they really don't know the truth. But it has been a blessing to me over the previous couple of years to hear young person after young person after young person that's been granted the opportunity to be in the very power playing positions, and they know the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior. And I believe that's the way that we rise above. We rise above. It's not only about rising above these things and being like the historic people from the Word of God, but it's also about rejoicing in. When all of these things have been removed from me, verse number 17, what does Habakkuk say? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The troops are drawing ever closer. What does it look like for me to be there in the midst of my nation when it is about to fall? This past week, we ate a meal right out off of 66. And so we went from that meal at the restaurant right up to the Manassas battlefield. And we're mindful of the fact that the Civil War had its early stages there in the Battle of Manassas. And as the guns fired, individuals from different locations around the Northern Virginia / Washington, D.C. area could hear the cannon. They could hear the rumbling of the horses. They knew that the federal troops were moving. They knew that the Confederate troops were moving. And that they were gathering together there in the nature of that farm. And so many people thought to themselves, hey, this is a great idea. It's a great time. Let's pack the picnic basket. Let's travel out of the Washington, D.C. area. And let's go see the show. Because surely when these individuals gather on the battlefield and they recognize that some blood might be shed, that will end it all and it will all come to a halt. And individuals that had brought picnic along and had come to see the show realized very quickly, death is no wonderful sight. War is horrific. They began to realize that this is probably not going to end with this battle here and now. But imagine that you were there at the Battle of Manassas and you're watching the nature of your country being invaded, defeated. And it's not a civil war. This is another nation that is on the doorstep. It's not brother against brother. It's you and I on the front porch watching a foreign invader. And that's exactly what Habakkuk is saying. I watched the northern kingdom fall because of their sins. And I know what happened to the northern kingdom. I know the way the southern kingdom has lived. And I know what is on the doorstep. And he says, I can already sense all of the things that we put stock in and trust in, all the necessities of life, I can already see how they're going away. I can hear the troops on the horizon. He says, almost from his front porch view of what is about to occur, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Boy, that's easy to say and hard to live. I've said to you before, and I really believe that this should just happen for like 5 minutes. I could clean up a lot of things if God would give me some supernatural ability. And that person was dealt with. You know, if I could just have that kind of power for about 5 minutes, I think I could solve a lot of America's problems, right? Would you like to have that? I'm thankful you don't have it because you'd probably point that finger at me. You know, easy now. That's how you and I think. We're taking the vantage point of our shortened time on this earth, and that's much how we think. We think to ourselves, well, Lord, if you would just give me the baton, if you would just give me the power in my finger, and I could just zap a few of these folks, I would fix all of our problems. But boy, I'm glad I'm not the one on the throne. You see, God is eternity past. God is eternally existent in our future. And His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we might think to ourselves, Lord, give me that kind of supernatural power and I'll fix it right now. But God says, oh no. If I were to do something like that, it would just be a greater mess.
The truth of the matter is that I am everlasting and I am on the throne. And I am the one that will direct. I want you, with the troops marching ever closer and those sustaining factors that are now depleting, I want you to rejoice in me. And Habakkuk, after surveying the status of the nations and after surveying the sovereignty of Almighty God, he says, what can I do? What can the individual do? Well, the individual, the believer, can rise above it. The believer can rejoice in. And then number three, and boy, this is desperately needed, the believer can remain true. The Bible says in Psalm 57 in verse number 7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Sean Hannity comes on the radio every day and he says, let not your heart be troubled. I do not know the specific status of Sean Hannity's knowledge of John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 6 and why that statement was originally given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But I do know this, that there are people that will listen to Sean Hannity and they'll think to themselves, well, I'm listening to Sean Hannity, so my heart need not be troubled. Folks, Sean Hannity is not the answer. There are some that are deathly afraid of Rush Limbaugh passing away and who's going to be the voice of conservatism every day from noon to three. Folks, even Rush himself in recent days would say he's not the answer. The answer is for you and I to rejoice in and to remain true to the God that reigns above. One of the significant things that takes place in Habakkuk is Habakkuk looking at the world and say, I'm not surprised they're acting this way because they're not the children of God. But Habakkuk, out of deep grief, says, I'm really troubled by the fact that God's people look no different than the wicked crowd. Boy, I tell you what, it used to be that the world would move and then the church would move, and then the world would move and the church would move. I almost believe today that they're almost synonymous and that the church is moving right along with the world and they're completely content to just continue on. Folks, it has been well stated, we will never make a difference until we are different. So let me ask you about your individual life. Is your individual life different from the individuals who do not know Christ that work next to you on a daily basis? Oh no, I can talk over the same things with them every Friday and every Saturday and every Monday morning. We talk over all the same things. That, my friend, is a shame. Believers ought to be different. There should be a difference in our lives. Is there a difference in your integrity? Is there a difference in your character? Is there a difference in the model of enthusiasm that you present in the workplace? Is there a difference in commitment? Is there an attitude that says, I will do right in spite of what it will cost me? It's interesting to me that Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25 says, in difficult times, and so much the more, the Bible clearly states, when the times are toughest, that's the time that I don't want to miss church. And yet in this day and age, well, I tell you what, it's just like flocking away. The Bible says, and so much the more you ought to be there. As you see the day approaching, you see, if Christ is coming back, and he is, then when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find you and I laboring for that which really matters? I want to close with a couple of passages this morning, and then with a statement. Again, would you look down at Habakkuk chapter 3. Job 13 and verse number 15, though he slay me,
Yet will I trust in him. I will maintain mine own ways before him. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4. The just shall live by his faith. Let's read again verses 16 through 19 here in Habakkuk chapter 3. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, rising above. Joseph enters the land of Egypt, and he rises above. Daniel enters the land of Babylon, and he rises above. Moses' parents rise above everyone else that is there in that land. They defied the king's commandment. Peter would rise above the others that claimed to be followers of Christ. Paul would rise above those others that claimed to be followers of Christ. Time and again, we find individuals that were under difficult times and difficult despair, and they rejoiced in the God of their salvation. May we who know him remain true. The commentator well said, all of Habakkuk's doubts had been removed. His problem had been swallowed up by praise. God was still on the throne. And I pray that the year 2021 will be a year in which we rise above, a year in which we rejoice in, and I pray that it will be a year in which we remain true. God sits on high. Let's pray. Father, we in heaven, we thank you and praise you for these great truths from this great book of the Bible. I'm so thankful that you put this passage on the heart of Brother Mike in that Thanksgiving service. And I'm thankful for the work that you've done in my heart in studying out these chapters and surveying the nations and seeing the nations as you knew them to be. Habakkuk was in a position of sorrow because his own people were about to be destroyed by Babylon. He's as it were, sitting on the front porch as the armies were going to gather together. And he knew full well the outcome because God's hand was against Judah. His judgment was upon them. And the Chaldeans would not escape judgment either, because God would bring judgment to Babylon. And one night, their sins were weighed in the eyes of Almighty God. And the writing on the wall came. And as the enemy was at the gate, they gloried and reveled in their own power and their own might. And that very night, they were defeated. And I believe there's some great truths for us here in the United States of America, for we who know Christ. It seems as though the sins of the nations that are mentioned here in Habakkuk, it seems as though many or most, if not all, of the sins that are found there in these other nations are here in the United States. And there are those that would want to drive God from every aspect of societal life. They surely don't want God to be mentioned in the White House. They surely don't want God to be mentioned in the courthouse. And it's amazing But in many ways, they don't want the true God to be ever shared in the church house. But I pray that this place would be a remnant, a faithful remnant of people that rise above the decisions of society and the wickedness of society, that we rise above in spite of the circumstances around us, and that we shine forth the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. I just cannot help but think of Joseph as he's taken in slavery in the Potiphar's house, but he very quickly rose above those around him. He's thrown into prison after a malicious attack, and very quickly he rose above. Can't help but think of Daniel traveling into that foreign culture and learning that foreign language and hearing all about the false gods of Babylon. And yet in a very short period of time, Daniel rose above. When it was commanded of the three boys that they bow the knee, they defied the king's decree and said, "Let come what may." May you help us to rise above. May you help us to rejoice in. It's been difficult at times to have much to rejoice in the year 2020. But we can rejoice, though all of these things that are sustainers of life have been removed, we can rejoice in the God of our fathers. He's still on the throne, and he is the everlasting one. Now, Lord, as you look out upon this audience this morning, you know the nature of the need that might be there today. And I pray for a people that would be responsive to the truths of Habakkuk. That we as your people would be broken when we have lived no differently from the wickedness of society. That we'd ask for forgiveness, that we'd humble ourselves and seek your face. I pray that we would stay on our knees for our nation, and where the news might come to us that would cause us to quiver and quake, literally make us physically ill, and where it seems as though the cheaters and the liars and the murderers are seeming to end in the victorious spot, Lord, would you just bring comfort to our hearts, knowing that you are in control and you have the power to set up one and to take down another. Lord, we do not know what is on the horizon for the United States as we do know what happened in the book of Habakkuk. But in the midst of everything that we see, may we be rejoicing in the God of our salvation. Would you work in this time of invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name.